Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, here we are with Kicking It with the Wolverine on Professor Gary Lee's Pioneers and Legends, Parts Unknown, with Professor Gary Lee. And of course, again, I'm filling in for the professor, and we are just trying to get things going here. So we're trying to get our guest on. So while I'm trying to get our guest connected, Mr. Bowen, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you?
Just fine. I just wanted to check in, see if you had any things that you needed to, that you wanted to talk about. And before we brought our guest on, and he is, just so you know, he is trying to call in right now. I sent you that number, so we'll see. It's let's see here. It's the 207-216-7647.
Okay.
Yep, if we can just try to bring that number up, and we'll be good to go.
Okay, we don't have it on the board yet. Hey, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen with the American Martial Arts Alliance Institute, and I just want to take a moment and update everybody on what's going on. I just posted I'm going to be in Texas for the roast of Professor Gary Lee. I'm looking forward to that. We got a lot of friends down there I wanted to hang out with and, you know, really talk some good martial arts talk, get some information. You know, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Now, we're really working on making a difference. So when we hear from you and we know what you're thinking, then we can go ahead and begin to implement that. We're going to be putting out a survey. And we want to, when we're doing that, because we want to know. We don't want to be just doing stuff because it makes us feel good. We want to do things because it's going to impact the martial arts. It's going to be impact the business industry. You know, there's going to be a big impact on everything that we're doing. So we want to hear from you. We just kicked off the Action Martial Arts. They're celebrating 20 years. It's hard to believe. I looked when I was first inducted into the Action Martial Arts Magazine Hall of Honors as Grandmaster of the Year. That was back in 2004. Hard to believe. So we are working with them and promoting a brand new book. And the book is going to be the Action Martial Arts Hall of Honors history book. Yep, a history book. And that in the history book is focusing on the 20 years, going back and finding out who were the players, what made it happen. And we're going to also be honoring some of those people that have passed on and they're no longer with us. So we want to still carry their legacy. So it's going to be a very different book. It's going to be a very empowering book. And the people that are going to be in there, you know, and if you have been inducted into the Action Martial Arts Hall of Honors in the past or 2020 inductee, you qualify to actually be in the book. What you can do, we have a new website up, and that is actionmartialartshistorybook.com. That's pretty simple, actionmartialartshistorybook.com. You can go to the website. A lot of information there. We have a registration page. Again, you must be an inductee of the Action Martial Arts Magazine Hall of Honors in order to be included in this book. We have a lot of great things that's going on, from helping people to build themselves in their community through our press release program. So if you want to know more about press releases and how to really make an impact in your community, then let me know. You can call me at 919-618-8075, or you can email me at amaawhoswho@gmail.com. Hey, sir, that's it for me.
All right, sir, that sounds good. Well, it was great information. I'm glad we got everybody close to that. So You have a good night. And at this time, we'd like to see if Professor Gary Lee is on the line. Professor Gary Lee, are you there?
Aloha, sir? Everybody.
Right, aloha, right, sir.
I want to say thank you, Hunter Bowen and Master Dean Piles, for what you guys have done for me. And, you know, I'm recuperating. I'm getting better every day. And I'm so proud that Dean, you know, has turned out to be a radio disc jockey. Besides being a bad, bad kind of person. I just want to share everybody, in almost 2 weeks, we're going to have a roast of a lot of fun. It's going to be Houston, Texas, and it's going to be the build-up and the climax of John and Tibbetts roast. We're going to do November 1st and 2nd in Las Vegas, Nevada. And let me try to not get people confused, but they... Houston roast is September 27th and 28th, and Hunter Bowen will be there, and a lot of surprises, and Mr. Piles will be there doing seminars. And then a month later in Las Vegas, I've got Ron Martini, Roy Kerbin, Jim Buten, Mr. Golly, I'm almost in goosebumps saying this, Chuck Merriman, and Don Warner, they're all coming. Be part of the summit. Mr. Dean Piles and I are driving out there, and it's at Sam's Town Casino, and it's November 1st and 2nd, and I'm going to give 100 movies of the new Gladiators to the first 100 people that come to the summit on Friday, November 1st, and then we're going to have an autograph session where you can actually sign the movies I give out. Eric Lee will be there, and Linda Pugliese. A lot of karate stars from the present and past. Bush Tokusawa, Max Tokusawa, you know, lots of people, Lonnie Walker. So I really encourage everybody to go out and meet these stars and also the people of the movie. And for more information, please call me at 713-483-0476. And you can talk to Dean tonight, and he'll give my number out again. And by the way, we're going to have a tournament Saturday morning at my roast. And for more information about being a part of the tournament, it is 228-221-2145. And again, Mr. Piles will give everybody the number. I would like to say also that 5 years ago, we created what they call Kata Wars. And, you know, I'm so proud of it. You have to have 100 first places just to be invited, or personal invitation from Roy D. Kerbin or myself. And, you know, it's like the best of the best. We put everybody under a microscope. We don't judge by 9.99. Everybody starts out with a 10-point system. Got five judges. One judge watches the upper body movement. One judge watches your feet, your kicks. One judge watches, even if you step out of the round, bounce. One judge watches your bunk eye and your application and your presentation. And one judge watches if your fundamentals of karate do is up to date and looks strong. So please come and experience Kata Wars. And understand that's a lot of fun. And we also have something for the super kids between the ages of 10 to 1 called Bubble Kumite. And we put out two bubble machines, and there's no contact, but the kids have to hit bubbles, and we have three levels. 1 point for every punch, 1 point for every click. They get 2 clicks for every kick. And if they do a Bill Wallace attitude, like 3 or 4 kicks, they'll get 3 clicks. So thank you, Dean, for allowing me to be part of my own show, I guess. But still, thank you for being who you are. And tonight's
thank
guest,
you, Professor.
Super competitor. And I'm looking forward to listening to it. God bless everybody, and I'll see you soon. In the meantime, deal with my student, Mr. Dean Piles. And God bless you, Jesse Bowen, if you're listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks, sir. So hey, I'm going to check Mr. to see if our guest has made it on. Mr. Buckland,
Dean,
are you there?
I'm there.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
All right. Okay, hang on. I got to do your build up, brother. Okay. All right. So our guest has made it on the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I get to interview a lot of great people, a lot of people that are, you know, special to me. You know, as you all know, how near and dear and how special Grandmaster Lewis was to me. And this guy right here is one of his guys. And me and him have been friends for I don't know how long, but this guy is just like a brother from another mother. He is a super, super instructor. He is innovative because we like to innovate, not imitate. And, you know, so we have a lot of the same ideas in our schools with our workouts and different things like that. But this guy is not only a Joe Lewis black belt, but a Bill Wallace black belt and a Michael D. Pasquale black belt. He's my brother, my friend, Mr. Rob Buckland. So, brother, it's good to hear from you.
Yeah, man. I can't believe it. It's funny. I listened to the show. You know, I send you a funky text here and there because you say some stuff. You do a great job, man. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, man. My forte was fighting, but since the diabetes, I've been hitting the katas up and trying to do that just to stay on the circuit. But fighting may be right around the corner. I'm not going to be counting that completely out. Even though I'm 50, you know, I'm going to get in and work these kicks more.
I just got to think about you back in the ring.
Yeah, I definitely will, but you know, just trying to do a lot of things and keep it up, and it's funny because me and you, Rob, we're so much alike in the way we think and the things we do. You know, it's just awesome. But I want, you know, the whole point of this show, Professor Gary Lee started it, is it's called Parts Unknown, Pioneers and Legends, Parts Unknown. You're definitely a pioneer. You're definitely a legend. I mean, you've trained with the legends. You teach what the legends taught you, and you do it with the same kind of spirit that I do, that Joe Lewis wanted us to, and me and you've talked about it a lot, with that warrior spirit. And we both pretty much had the same kind of job with Grandmaster Lewis, which was a lot of people don't realize, I'll go ahead and say now, but a lot of people don't realize is he had watchers that were there to watch and kind of sweep up as janitors if he needed that kind of thing done. And you and I shared that kind of same position. But I just want you to go ahead and tell the people at home who Rob Buckland is, you know, when you got started, all that good stuff, and then we'll get into, because, ladies and gentlemen, you people don't know, this man is an actor, a stuntman. So we're going to get into all that. We're going to get the beginning of Mr. Buckland first, and then we'll get into that other stuff. So brother, just go ahead. The floor is yours. Just start at the beginning and keep marching forward.
Long story.
He says, have at it. Well, in 1973 is when I started martial arts because I used to get beat up on the bus. And it's kind of hard to believe because I'm kind of a gorilla now, but
you've always been a big guy. I mean, our body types have always been similar. You've always been a big, you know, a bigger, and not, I don't mean fat, I mean muscled up, you know, a bigger structured person.
I got you. But when I was in the military in the 80s, I was at a 170, and when I got out, I was fighting as a middleweight, because I guess that was high middle, and I was a slow middleweight. And this guy David Sinopoli said to me, he goes, man, he goes, you're a slow middleweight, but you'd be a fast heavyweight. And so I just lifted heavy, kept stretching, and I turn around and I hit heavyweight. Man, I fought like, it was great. I fought like Mafia Holloway. I fought, you know, Billy Blanks. Never fought Steve Anderson, but I mean, I fought some guys with some great records in the point circuit. Got disappointed because they could, you know, throw those flag techniques, you know, where they were near you but
right.
not on you. Yeah, and they
right.
get the point. So that turned me to kickboxing. But, yeah, from 73 to 84 was Weichiru Karate. It turned me on because it was I saw a documentary, and it was called The Secrets of Okinawan Karate, and it called Weichiru the most devastating use of force and chaos of all the Okinawan martial arts. And I went, damn, all right, I'll do that. And it's funny because I watch Krav and I watch, you know, other martial arts. And if you watch Master Lewis's DVDs, he mentions Weichiru about three different times. And he doesn't really generally mention styles by name, you know, specific
no.
styles. He'll say Muay Thai or Bando or Muay Boran, but he won't mention specific styles. And he called that style out a bunch of times, and it was kind of funny. And then he taught me a lesson about Weichiru. He told me that I should probably be ashamed because Weichiru Karate was the reason that professional or full contact got taken off network television because it was a fight with Mike Stone and a black guy, a Weichiru guy, and it was a blood fest. And ABC didn't want to carry it. NBC didn't want to touch it. CBS, no way. And so for, I don't know what he said, whether it was 10 or 20 years, but they were gone for a while off the
right.
regular television. And it was all because of that. Crazy. And
yeah.
I met Joe Lewis in 1986, and it just changed everything for me. And through him, I met Bill Wallace and Michael DePasquale Jr., and just, I mean, I think of them as the three, I mean, really the three American martial arts legends that you know, today that travel the seminar circuit, that tried to make us all better with their tactics, their strategy, and their conditioning. And so I just try to carry on, you know, the attributes that they instilled in me. And,
right. Well,
you know,
that's what we're supposed to do, brother.
Well, Joe said, it's interesting because at Karate College, Jerry Beasley has this thing in Radford, Virginia, Radford University, called Karate College. And, man, that was such a great gathering of martial artists. And born out of there was Joe's, it was called the Joe Lewis American Karate Systems Well, I guess by then he was Joe Lewis Fighting Systems, and we did a
right.
research conference where it was supposed to be like a fellowship of black belt, all working out together, all his guys just sharing our stuff, and for years it was just great, and it was just, I mean, it was a great idea he had, you know, before he got sick, and then, you know, everything kind of, you know, went the other way.
Right, but yeah.
Now it's up to us,
yeah.
you know, now it's up to us.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know that day was kind of crazy for me because I was actually taking one of my Green Berets up to see Grandmaster that day when I got the call, and we just had got in the van and started driving, and was getting ready
wow.
to pull in and get gas when I got the call. I had to just get out
yeah.
and sit in the passenger seat and have him drive me back. I was just kind of like numb. I just said. To me, you know, being around Grandmaster, you know, he was just so strong and charismatic. You just never thought, it was like looking at a mountain. You just never thought that anything could happen to that guy. You know,
no, nothing could take that mountain down. No way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually,
and it was just devastating.
I phoned you.
I was actually on the runway, on my way to Philadelphia to see him. That day, and I got the call, and
yeah,
the
see,
plane was, we were in a stack, and we couldn't leave. We're on the tarmac. We're not going anywhere, and they brought us back to the hub, and I just went outside, and I put on sunglasses, and, man, I don't think I stopped crying that whole day.
I mean, that's crazy. And you know, there was both of us headed there on that same day. It was just crazy. So, you know, this year at Dixieland Nationals, I dedicated the Dixieland Nationals to him, and I won my divisions, and then I won the weapons grands and the empty hand grands. You know, and a lot of people didn't know why that day was so emotional for me. Maybe some, you know, I didn't talk about it because it's hard for me to talk about, because then I get emotional and I can't do my job. You know, so I just try to have it. You know what I mean? Professor Gary Lee can tell you when I went for my ninth Dan at his, I had not had to intro or give out Grandmaster's name in a long time. And at that belt rank exam, when I give out his name, I broke down right there. You know, I mean,
yeah.
it was very hard to finish, because from a little boy on, I mean, that's who I looked up to. I mean, you know, he taught me a lot of things, and, you know, was there. And you know how he would just, you know, like to talk. And we used to would call and just be on the phone for hours. I mean, it might not even be really talking about anything, but just goofiness, you know?
Right. I think he was driving to seminars and just calling us. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was too. Yeah, he would do that, you know. And he would call me up and he would say, "I just went to a seminar," and he would start telling me about, you know, what went on at the seminar, and, you know,
yeah,
and his thoughts on maybe some of the people at the seminar, you know,
because
he didn't mind telling you like it was, or, you know.
Oh, no, no, so, ever. So here's what I did. When I was coming up, my job, I had a sales job as an appliance guy, and my buddy talked me into selling timeshare. And in the timeshare industry, if you turn around and you're good, they don't care if you quit and come back and quit and come back, as long as when you come back, you sell. So Joe would come to town and do a seminar, and then I would turn around. I'd have some dough, so I'd hop in the van with him and go to like four or five seminars a week or two until I ran out of money, maybe three. And then I'd hop on a bus and go back home and get my job back. And I did that, man, I did that from probably 1984 to the mid-90s. And I went to so many seminars, lived out of that damn van with him.
He loved that van.
Oh, he loved that van. And the stories and just the, man. I mean, people just don't know Joe.
No, it would be funny because he would come up, you know, going up through doing the seminars, and I would be with him, and he would be taking different people, like, on a little tour. And he would drive them by Pilot Mountain, and he would say, "You see that mountain? Aliens built that mountain." He would tell them, aliens built that mountain. You know, 'cause you know how it was. He didn't care. He just, aliens built that mountain.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was always a good times.
Yeah, he was amazing,
no matter,
man. He was amazing. But you know what? We're blessed that we get to carry on his legacy. And you know what's so funny is when I'm teaching, I had a test recently and I watched these guys. I mean, what I do is I overlay four different curriculums. I have Joe's, I have Bill's, Michael D. Pasquale's, and I have Wei Chi Karate. So these guys, Don test was like 5 hours. It was probably horrific for them. I don't know, but I was just goosebumps the whole time, because when I went out there on the floor and said, "All right, this is what you're going to do next," these guys, and they did it, and they were just cracking. I'm thinking to myself, man, I know he's watching. Man, I can feel him watching. And I just, it was just so amazing that this is what our job is. This is what we have to do.
Right.
We have to carry on this man's legacy, man. How blessed are we?
Oh, yeah. Blessed. And, you know, there's a lot that do it. And I try to make sure that I do it exactly the way I feel like he would want it done, you know. I may be innovative, and I may, you know, go, okay, this is the way we do it, but nowadays fighters are doing this, and I you know, because we do a lot of MMA stuff. But what people don't realize is Grandmaster was so far ahead that his techniques worked so good in MMA. But the problem is a lot of people are getting them, and they're getting them watered down, you know. And it's nothing like getting them from him himself. And I try to pass them down exactly the way, because that was the way that the power, the intensity, well, just the, you know, just the whole training method, you know, I mean, you were just charged up when you were training with him. You know what I mean? I mean, everything's just electrified. You're just like, okay, yeah, I'm ready. Okay, whatever. Let's just do it. But he used to pick at me about my being, you know, my voice, my southern accent that we would always carry on. I'd be like, my southern accent. I'd be like, your southern accent is just as bad as mine. He'd be like, no way. Your southern accent, you sound like Andy Griffith. And I'd be like, okay. And you probably remember him picking on me.
Yeah, you'd say L.A. You'd say Lower Alabama.
Yeah, and he would pick on me, and then we went, you know how he'd want to spar the people, you know, to see, you know, if they could make it to black belt, you know.
Yeah, everyone.
So he tells me one day, he's like, look, we got to go. I need you to come with me. I'm feeling a little under the weather. I'm like, okay. So I jump in the van, and we drive down to Eden, North Carolina, and we get out and we go in, and I told him at the gym, I was like, well, I need to grab my boxing gloves and stuff. He's like, no, I got them. He said, Century's giving me this whole bag of gear right here, so you don't need anything. I got everything you need.
Yeah.
So we get down there, and there's this big dude standing in there. He's probably about maybe not quite 6 foot tall, but he's probably 240 pounds of this muscle. He's flexing. He looks like a bodybuilder, you know.
Yeah.
And he was in there flexing in the mirror and people talking to him. And Grandmaster was like, he starts talking to him. He's like, yeah, get your stuff on, da da da. You're going to do this. And you know how he liked to make fun of people. So he starts going ahead and ribbing him and getting him really riled up, you know. And then he was like, well, look, you're gonna spar him tonight, Youngblood tonight. And he said, and because I told him who he was fighting, he brought these gloves down to fight with you. He pulls out these pink boxing gloves and hands them to me. And so I'm sitting there thinking, you trying to get me killed, you know?
Yeah.
But that's how it was, because he knew that, and as he hands them to me, he gives me that sideways grin, like, well, I got you good. You on dead ground now, son. That's what he's thinking. Because he knew that dude was going to try to take me apart, so his test just got kicked up a notch, because he knew that I was going to have to pick it up, or that guy was going to try to dismantle me, because that's exactly what he was trying to do. But being
Absolutely.
As big as he was, it made him really slow. But it was just those kind of things he liked to pick on you and do, you know, that people didn't get, you know, that everybody didn't get to see.
That's why he and I got along so well. A lot of people thought of him, you know, like he made fun of stuff too much and stuff like that. But you know what? He just loved having fun. But I think above all, what people don't know about is the Joe Louis Michael DePasquale connection, because I think one of the crown jewels of recorded martial arts information is when Joe and Michael did Ring Deadly Street Lethal. When they turned around and put together the two of them and did that video series, I mean, that was epic. That was epic. That showed Joe's ground fighting ability. That showed, you know.
Right, because people would ask me, well, who taught you jiu-jitsu? And I would be like, well, Joe Louis. Well, Joe Louis didn't study jiu-jitsu. Yeah, he did. He studied with Michael DePasquale. So, they'd be like, what? No way. This is where I learned it. And people would be like, there's no way. And I was like, look, Grandmaster, a lot of people just thought, okay, he's just teaching kickboxing. They didn't realize he had katas, he had weapon skills, he had jiu-jitsu skills. It just depended on what he wanted to show you or what you asked to work on. He had a lot of knowledge that some people never got to tap into, because they never knew him good enough to ask, or he never knew it was around him enough to let them know, you know.
All right, so here's a good story. So we're at a seminar. It's in the Boston area, Massachusetts. And I don't know that there's another Boston, but just in case. So there I was at the seminar. And I had just worked with Bill Wallace, and I think this was around Wallace's 50th birthday. And I had dropped an elbow on one of Wallace's sidekicks when we were sparring. And, of course, he lit me up afterwards. And then I tried to spar with somebody else the next round, and he pulled me back and punished me for another round. But then afterwards, we had a discussion. And the discussion that came up was how bad my hook was. And he told me that he goes, I can't believe you're a Joe Louis black belt. He goes, with a hook like that. So I went to the Joe Louis seminar and told Joe, you know, Wallace said this about my hook. Well, this seminar was at a jiu-jitsu guy's school who was expecting Joe to, you know, show transitions into jiu-jitsu. So once I told Joe that, the whole seminar was combinations off the hook.
Went to the hook.
Yeah. So after that, at the very end, after we just it was just awesome. I mean, Tony the Freak Frickland was there with me, and we showed Joe a drill that I made up, and then the guy comes up, and I remember this guy specifically because he had a glass eye. And I don't know if you ever looked at anybody for a long time with a glass eye, but you know you don't forget that anyway.
Yeah.
So this guy's got the glass eye, and he looks at Joe, and he says, well, Joe, I was really hoping that we were going to do jiu-jitsu. And he turned to me and he goes, Buckland, do jiu-jitsu with him. And so I square up with this guy, and I swear to you, in, you know, under I don't know how many seconds, he's down and he's tapping. And he goes, thank you, Mr. Louis. Joe taught us everything, man.
Yeah, but most people don't realize a lot of your best training with Grandmaster came at a restaurant or in a motel lobby. Because question would come up, and that's where he would start teaching, and then it would be going from answering a question to a two-hour training session in a restaurant or a foyer of a restaurant or a parking lot or the lobby of the motel or somewhere like that. Where you got your best training.
At the Golden Corral. Yeah.
Yeah, the Golden Corral or something like that, yeah. Wherever he'd come out, yeah. I remember when Mount Airy first got the Golden Corral, man, he would wear me out wanting to go to the Golden Corral and eat. I'd be like, man, good Lord, you drive up here just to go to the Golden Corral, and he'd just grin. He'd like, what, you know, it's good. He'd love to go in there and clean that place out, man.
Oh, yeah.
But it just be so funny because he'd be sitting in there, nobody, you know, and he would crack jokes with the waiters and stuff, and he'd have his glasses on, you know, and he'd slide them down right down toward the end of his nose, you know. He'd be peeking over the top of them and talking, and people would, you know, he'd be like, always laughing and carrying on with him, craziness. Not only that, I mean, you know, we've got that history because you and I are linked forever there, but tell the people about some of your stunt and movie background because we're building on some things that we got coming up. So let's
tell the ladies and gentlemen some
of that stuff.
Okay. Actually, what got me into stunts and movies was actually Michael DePasquale's Action Film Stunt Schools. I went to, I don't know, half a dozen of them, and I was a slow learner. So you guys that are aspiring, if you guys are aspiring to do this stuff, let me just tell you, don't worry about being a slow learner. Just every time you fall down, get up. It's just like fighting. Just get up more than you fall down. You'll be fine. I turned around and I learned how to fall on any surface known to man by him. I learned not to, I corrected Gary Daniels on the set of Blood Moon. I learned that that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
I, Sorry. I caught on fire with Michael. I caught on fire with Michael twice. Did two full fire burns. And then I took what I learned and went to casting agencies. And, man, Joe Hess is an amazing coach, an amazing resource out of Florida. He hooked me up with an agent down in Florida. I got multiple commercials and movies from that, Miami Vice, just all kinds of stuff. And then since I've come back up north, I hooked up with a company called Narrow Street Films. We're doing right now, we're in the middle of the production of something called Felsen and Company, where I'm playing a mill owner that's kind of a villainous prick with a, you know, cigar chomping thug.
Right.
I got a couple henchmen. Yeah, so that's good. I guess I'm playing your brother in one coming up too. And Michael DePasquale's our dad, isn't that right?
Yeah, so Michael DePasquale will be our dad in that movie, and yes, you will be. Yes, you're playing my brother, and that's coming up, and that's not too far off, and that's going to be a good time. And we're going to have a lot of fight scenes in that movie also. It's going to be a lot of throwdowns.
That'll be great. I got there's something else out of New York that I also just picked up. I'm not sure on the details. I looked at the email, but I didn't read the sides. But it's a speaking part, and there's some fight scenes there. So it's fun to be able to, you know, do dialogue, you know, where it's not just, you know, your kung fu is no good here, and then fight, you know, to get a good monologue in, show some emotion, and that's because people discount, well, you know, that martial arts guys can be good actors, but I mean, if you ever saw The Cutoff with Joe Louis, or if you ever saw, you know, him doing some of those scenes, man, Joe was thoroughly trained. There's a number of people that I kind of emulate as far as actors go. And I practice a lot, and I've done a couple, I would say half a dozen, where it wasn't even martial arts related. I mean, I played a coroner, I've played a, you know,
right.
Okay. You know, a number of things just to try to branch out. And it's so much fun.
Right.
And I've done so many, I mean, dozens. So it's great. This is a big year. I got about four of them this year, and with stunts and fighting, and I got a new hip. So I'm lean and mean, and I'm ready to go. My school up here has, I don't know, 60 plus students. I got Michael DePasquale's Martial Arts University I'm teaching at. I'm teaching at a thing called The Gathering out in Reno for Honchi Bruce Jutnick. My honor to teach for him. Oh, my God. Let's see. There's a number of them coming up. It's just I get the emails, I get the calls, and I just kind of got to sift through them and decide what's what.
Right. Well, you know, it's the good thing is, like you're saying, with the stunt fighting and learning the falls and stuff like that, when my daughter Alex and I had done America's Got Talent, they had had other martial arts acts on there, but nobody had went as far as we did. But they had to look at the acts. They had us go downstairs at the CBS lot, and it's it's just cement floors, cement beams, all that stuff. Well, they didn't understand what we were doing. You know, and so they got these guys that's their stunt coordinator, and he's down there, and he's like, well, look, we're just going to sit down here. Y'all just do whatever it is you do, and we'll give you some tips to help you out with the show and what we think, you know, you should do or change or, you know, stuff like that. So I said, okay. And I said, this area right here, good. Well, it was I remember these floors were just shiny, slick cement. Well, we go to stunt fighting. I mean, my daughter, she's little. She's cutting backflips off of me. She's doing all this stuff. And they're sitting there literally with their mouths hung open, and we stop, and we get to the end. And I was like, well, what do you think? And he was like, I'm kind of blown away because you didn't even ask for mats. And I said, well, you said do it right here. Well, but we have mats that you guys could have used. He said, but y'all just went right through it like – like no, I was like, yeah, and he was like, Okay, yeah, I wouldn't change a thing. That all looked great, you know, and that's, you know, and that's part of learning how to fall, and that comes from Michael D. Pasquale, because, you know, everybody teaches break falls for a mat, you know, 90% of people, you know, that's teaching. You know, Michael teaches you for whatever surface you're on, but you learn how to hit that, and a lot of people don't realize is that training in stunt fighting actually helps your real fighting, because you've got to cut things so close that your timing becomes even sharper, because you look at a fight different, and even when you're fighting for real, you kind of slow it down like it's a stunt fight, like, you know, I mean, I catch myself doing it all the time. I'm like, ooh, there's a shot, boom, 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 boom. Because you're like, oh, look, it's going to be great right here. You know, because you kind of see the punch coming, and you know exactly how to slip last minute to make it look good for the camera, but you can actually slip it in real life and make it look good also. So, absolutely. You know, a lot of people don't realize it, you know, how good that, you know, stunt fighting helps you with actual fighting and you know, putting all that together. So, yeah, we're going to have some good times, and even Professor Gary Lee is going to be taking a cameo in this movie and doing some spots. It's going to be great, and I can't wait to see you cigar chomping one too. You know, that'll be good. Hey, you could even, you know, in this one, even though playing my brother, you could have a cigar if you wanted to. I mean, your character could still have a big cigar if that's something you like. You know, you can play around with it and see.
I don't need a cigar. That's the part. Gary's part. That's funny.
You just be like, so you can just have cigars around. But yeah, I mean, that's awesome. So Michael's got that. He's got the Michael D. Pasquale, what do you call it? It's like a seminar, but
Martial
it's his fight.
Martial Arts University.
Yeah, his university coming up here.
Yeah, he's coming up in November. And then he's still running Action Film Academies. And with Action Film Academy, I mean, you still have guys like Art Camacho. I mean, director, producer. You've got Joe Hess, who's done, you know, over 100 films. I'm going to tell you something. With people like Joe Hess and Art Camacho and Michael D. Pasquale as mentors, I mean, you can really take the ball and run with it. It's not it's funny because a lot of people will turn around and they'll pay to go to these camps, and then they'll try and fail and quit. And the thing is, listen, they're looking – when you read for something, or you – even if you go in and do a great fight scene for something, you may get some minimal scene in that movie, even though you did an epic job. I mean, I had the director-producer of a movie called Anatomy of the Tide come running up in an alley where I did a fight scene that basically I re-choreographed, and he had tears running down his face, and he said, oh, my God, I didn't know it could look like this. And, you know, I mean, if you do a good job and you turn around and you train hard, it's just like martial arts. You know, you turn around and whether you win fights at a tournament or in the ring, or whether you just influence the life of one student, or if you take it to the screen and you turn around and you impact a viewer, or what if you project the vision of a director or a producer? I mean, we have an opportunity to change lives as martial artists, and it's really... I mean, if we're doing this, are we just doing it as an activity? We're not just going out and playing a game of tennis that we don't remember the score of 2 years from now. We want to do a show or do an activity or do an event that turns around and changes a life that positively impacts someone. You know, I mean, you could, whether you inspire a kid or whether you turn around and you inspire someone that's struggling to trying to break into films, or whether you just want to build someone's confidence. These things will all do that. And, you know, you just got to stick with it. You just got to not quit.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, I remember talking to you know, Grandmaster Lewis about it, and I would tell him that, you know, a lot of times when I'd go to some of the auditions, they would say something about my Southern accent, and he laughed, yeah. And he said, look, you be you. You be you. Don't worry about it. And I would say, well, you know, I do come from Andy Griffith's hometown, and there was a Marine on there. His name was Gomer Piles, and my grandfather was also a Marine, and his name was Piles. So, you know, and him and Andy Griffith were best friends growing up. But, you know, the thing of it is, you know, I went and I did this I done a read up in New Jersey. And so, you know, for 6 months I went around with a speech therapist, and I'm trying to, you know, pronounce my words exactly right, and I'm working. So I go in, I do the read, and, you know, I pronounce my words right, then I go back out, and I'm sitting down, and I'm just talking to all the other people that are auditioning, and the director comes back out, and he says, hey, who's just talking? And I was like, well, yeah, I was talking. And, you know, because I wasn't going to be the guy sitting there, everybody knew I was talking, and be the guy sitting there like, it wasn't me. You know, so I'm like, man, he's like, why didn't you talk like that when you were in here? I said, well, because I figured, you know, you'd want, you know, my Southern accent. No, come back in here. Come back in here. Did the read again. That's exactly what we wanted. That's exactly, you know, and I'm like, I can't believe it. Because Grandmaster had always told me, don't worry about it. You be you. You be you.
Yeah.
And because I would talk to him about the working out, you know, I'd say, well, you know, I was working out, and I was really working out, and somebody I remember, somebody in my family said, why do you work out so much? I said, well, you know, because I'm in martial arts, I'm doing that. Yeah, well, I read this thing where Chuck Norris said you shouldn't lift over 5 pounds if you're doing karate, and I remember telling Grandmaster that. Well, you could imagine his response to that and how he laughed. He was like, look, he said, you build your body, and your martial arts will follow. You make your body strong, and your martial arts will follow. He said, you just remember that. He said, that's what you do. And he said, you don't worry about what anybody else says. You make your body strong, and your martial arts will follow. And so that's what I always did. I just, you know, I was like, okay. So I kept working out. I stretched and done my stuff. And, you know, it never hindered me. You know, working out never slowed anything down. But he was right. It did enhance my martial arts, because it's kind of like a turbo boost. Because you have your technique, and then if you have to add a little muscle or a little pizzazz, then you have it. You know, it was way better to have it than not to have it. And when you got somebody like Grandmaster demonstrating his 45-degree uppercut on your rib cage, it pays to have a little extra muscle there to suck some of that in, because that, you know how that goes.
Absolutely.
You know how those uppercuts go. And he likes switching sides and digging them in good, especially when it comes to drilling them, you know, and putting those in. Because he would always be messing with me because of my high Cherokee Indian nose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would be saying, he'd say, now stand right there and put your hands up right here. And I'd put them right here, and he'd be, I'm going to be telling him stuff. So then he'd throw his jab, and bam, he'd hit me right in the nose. And he would look at me and go, did it break? And I'd be like, no, it didn't break, but you hit me in the nose. He's like, oh, man. And I was like, well, what did you hit me for? He's like, well, because I was trying to see if I could break your nose. There's no sense in a nose bone being that high and not breaking. I do not understand how your nose is not broken. I was like, are you kidding me? It'd be right in the middle of a seminar. That's what it would go to. He'd be like, now put your hands on here.
Yeah.
And he'd bam, and it hit me right in the face. And I'd be like, ugh. And then he would... Even I've got pictures of him palming the back of my head and then taking his great big brick hands and slapping me right in the face, telling people,
yeah.
You know, when you're punching, this is your target. And he just pat, 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 slapping me right in the face. And then he just grinned from ear to ear, you know, thinking it was hilarious. Hey, do you remember when he had the grippers and I closed the grippers finally?
Yes. I was there.
I tore the
tendon.
Yeah, I tore the tendon in my finger, and he was like, I don't want to hear about it. Get them closed. And I closed them, and there's this guy off to the side, and his eyes was, like, really big, and Grandmaster's sitting there looking at me like, I'll be dang. How you close his eyes?
Yeah. That was the number two, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the number two? Yeah.
He was like, I cannot believe you got them clothes, because those other guys come up and he'd look at me and you, and the guy'd come up and he'd be wearing a black belt, and Grandmaster said, so you're a black belt? And he's like, yeah. And Grandmaster, well, here, close these. And of course, the guy couldn't close them. And he kept going down, you know. Well, close these. And the guy closed them. And then he looked at us. I don't know if you remember. He looked at us. He was like, so this guy's a yellow belt in Kung Fu, but he's wearing a black belt. Remember that? Like, this guy's a yellow belt in Kung Fu. I forget him just making fun of that dude, because he finally got them little bitty ones closed. He was like, congratulations, you closed the yellow belt,
trainer.
The yellow belt grippers.
That's right. That's the trainer. He called them the yellow belt grippers. That's right. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, man, this is going to be great. We got a project coming up. That's awesome. I'm excited, man. We're going to do this. This is good.
Yeah, it's going to be good times. And then no better than to have Michael DePasquale right there helping with some of the things. I've got to call him. I haven't got to call him. I talked to him about it here a few months ago, but I got to call him when we start getting things really geared up, because that'll be a good thing. And like I say, with, you know, when you got somebody like that right there, I mean, you know, it's just going to make things even better.
I think you might not want to tell him before he accepts the role that, you know, he's in jail. You might not want to tell him that.
We'll leave that out until the end.
Yeah, leave that part out. And then
we'll just spring that on him the day of filming.
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly how we got it. That's how we'll rope him in. That'll be good.
Yeah. we'll just say, okay, on today's scene, and then, you know, we'll cover it up, and then we'll tell him, you know, we'll cover the whole bars, the jail scene up with some cloth, and then we'll get him in there, and then we'll take all the cloth out and shut the door.
That's right.
And then that way he's already back there.
He's already in there. Thanks for flying down. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll have, I know there's a lot of memory scenes, you know, of us, you know, talking and remembering things that he taught us that'll be going through that we'll have him in there. But, you know, the whole basis of that movie is going to be anti-bullying and eventually having to stand your ground. And then, you know, just good, solid, instead of everything has went to CGI. I've done so much work here lately where, you know, I do all these karate moves, and then they can take my moves and put anybody's face on them, and there's people getting credit for karate that they can't do because of CGI. And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, once they capture your moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once they capture
your moves, they can put anybody's face on them.
We're going to do this old school, right?
Yes, it's going to be old school. It's going to be old school, but you know what? We're going to demonstrate fighting techniques that actually really work, but are also awesome when we put them together. It's going to be
awesome. It'll be good. I'll tell you what. I did a movie called Chance, and I slipped a punch, came up and threw a hook at a straight right. And the second AD turned around and said, whoa, where did you go? And I said, what are you talking about? And she goes, that punch came and you were gone. And I said, well, that's called slipping. And she said, do it again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it works for film. It works for film. They're just not used to seeing it.
Yeah, that's right, and it does work, because on the Warrior movie, I did similar to the same thing, and we had that day Sue. She was one of the assistant directors there, and this guy had came in, and he started saying that he was a Sancho champion, you know, and he had this awesome kickboxing skills and, you know, things like that, and so she said, well, I tell you what we'll do, she said, Wolverine talking to me, because that's what they call me. She's like, look, since we got you in a lot of stuff, we'll put him moving right here. You be right here doing some grappling, and then it'll pan around. I was like, okay. So we start doing the stuff. This guy starts doing his, supposed to be doing some mitt work drills and then some kicks, and they work that, they watch that one set. They you know, stop. Sue comes over, gets that guy. She sets him down in this chair. She says, "Look, this is your part. You're extremely hot and tired. I want your hand, your elbows on your knees." And she gets a towel. She drapes it completely over him, where you can't even see him. And she's like, "Now you sit there with that towel over your head, because that's how hot you are." She's like, "Wolverine, you back in the middle. You do the kickboxing scene, because that I don't know what that was." And then that guy raises up, and he was like, "Do you want me to raise?" "No." And she grabs his head. "I want you to be hot. You're hot. You're looking straight down. You keep covered up. You're extremely hot and tired." So it pays, like you say, it pays to have you know, some training with some people that knew what they were doing. And, you know, I still enjoy, you know, in the creative division in martial arts, I do a routine called the Eternal Warrior. Now, I did this routine, you know, at the 50th Battle of Atlanta when I got the Joe Louis Eternal Warrior Award in Grandmaster's honor. And, you know, so I threw the kickboxing moves in it, out of the undulator, and also that we could just have, you know, those kickboxing moves. And, you know, in sport karate, they see those kickboxing moves. It's not, you know, okay, I'm doing this hand jive, you know, stuff. So a lot of times judges are like, oh my God, that guy threw actual uppercuts, and hey, he's ducking and weaving and throwing some hooks. You know, like, what is that? And I'm like, so I did it, and, you know, I won with it, and I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to keep doing it, win or lose, because it keeps his name out there. And every single time I hand to God, when I do that kata, somebody in the crowd sees it, and they come straight to me, and they say, "Did you train under Joe Louis?" And I'm like, "Yes, I did." Because I've done seminars under him, and when you were doing that, you move exactly like him. And I was like, that's the best compliment. Win or lose, that I'd rather hear that than to hear 99.99 all the way across. Because,
oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, because that's why I do it, you know. And I got one competitor, Robert. I compete against him every time, and he'll say, every time as soon as they score, he'll be like, "Daggone it, you got me again with that dang Joe Louis stuff." He said, "But I ain't going to lie. Man, that looks beautiful, man. That looks beautiful." And I'm like, that's all that matters, because I just want to be at competition and have him say his name. So, you know, I'm big on, you know, pushing for, you know, letting people know who we trained under. And that's why Professor Gary Lee, he always tells me, you know, you're only as good as your last performance. And I come back every single time right after competition, win, lose, or draw, and I go right back to training the very next day. So if we leave on Sunday, we get back at 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning. By lunchtime Monday, I'm back in the gym training. And one of my students said to me the other day, he was like, "Grandmaster, you know," he was like, "you really have, you know, shown us that, you know, you really do mean what you say. You come straight back in, win or lose, and you always go right back to training." And that was something I did, because, you know, that's how Grandmaster was. He didn't tell you something and then not do it. You know, he led from the front.
So, how do you feel about what's going on with you know, carrying on Joe's legacy, as far as, like, you know, the associations and the people and the other black belts that are out there that are under?
You know, I'm going to do what Grandmaster would want me to do. I'm going to step back, and I'm going to watch for a while, as I'm sure you are. And then when it's time to step in, I'm probably going to step in. You know,
I like that. I like that.
I've kind of set back and let it go, but Grandmaster's legacy of what he left was not supposed to be a feeding frenzy. It was not supposed to be a ranking competition. It was supposed to be about taking those skills, keeping us all together, working, and like me and you talk about, you know, not imitating but innovating, building on these skills, just like Grandmaster would say, based in science. Okay, if we've got something that we're doing and the way fights change and the way fights evolve, we should be evolving and moving. We should be at the cutting edge of it, ahead of it, not worrying about this other garbage. So I'll just kind of set back and watch until it's time not to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think it's the men that make the association. The associations
exactly.
don't make the men.
Well, so, yeah. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot that men will talk about that we won't talk about on the radio about that. But, yeah, it's like I say. But they I know they're aware of us and, you know, and I know they wonder why we're in the positions we're in and we're not in there, you know, like trying to run that name the way they're doing it. You know, because Grandmaster told me a long time ago, he said, look, he said, you've got the skills. Now it's you've got to run with it and you've got to build a legacy and you've got to keep this going the way it is intended to be, the way we want it to be, you know?
Right.
And if they're not doing it, then, you know, it's time, you know, to step in and, you know, it's going to change the games and I'm not going to care about the crying and the whining. It's just going to be, that's just going to be the way it's going to be. It's never been meant to just trying to make money on. It's meant to carry the legacy of one of the world's greatest fighters and showing his technique and how it's supposed to be done. And that's what I'm not seeing. And, you know, it's more about a dollar and rank than it is about the skills.
Yep. Yeah, it's more about it's more about what you can get out of the name than.
And you know, Grandmaster taught us each. He taught me. He taught you to be a standalone. That we don't have to. We don't, and that's why he kept me out of that. And he told me straight up, I don't want you to be a part of that. Just for this very reason, right here.
I'll tell you something. Mike Allen told me. After Joe passed, I said, I really don't know what to do because it's not the way it was. And he said, you should just go develop your fears organization and just do what you're doing because you're doing great. And now Mike Allen was the president of that group. And so when he said that, that's when I took your stance and I just kind of stood back and that's it. And I agree. Because I think it's the individuals that make the association, not the association that makes the individuals. And that goes for any system. I'm not just talking about, like, with Joe. I mean, we're with Michael. I mean, Michael DePasquale, that's always been like a fellowship ever since it started. I mean, we've always just go and hang out. We work together. We share together. And that's what it is. And, you know, that's how it should be. It's funny because whenever a grandmaster dies, that this stuff happens to systems like Weichiru, same thing. It's split into multiple divisions and factions. And, you know, and now, you know, George Mathis is getting older. And, you know, and there's a bunch of different Weichi organizations trying to, you know, take over that whole thing. And it's just. It's just so crazy. How about we just get the information out there and just have a fellowship and just train together? It's not a business, man.
Exactly. Yeah. It's you know, and that's why we get along so good and we bond it so good because we can come and share the stuff that Grandmaster taught us, and it's not about a dollar or anything else. You know, it's about making sure that legacy. Those fighting skills and the fighting knowledge is passed on in its purity, not watered down, you know, but the way he wanted it. And if there's something that needs to be changed or can be added to make it more innovative, to take it to the next level, then Grandmaster would expect us to do that, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just the way he is. And, you know, he expects us. And I guess that's why I, you know, that I ended up, you know, well, he nicknamed me Wolverine, but that's where it stuck And that's why I said, you know, I say what I mean. I mean what I say, and I say what needs to be said, because that's exactly the way Grandmaster was. He said it. He meant it. And he was going to say it, because if it needed to be said, he was not going to stand there and not say it. It was coming out. You know, people didn't have to ask where they stood. You know, and I'm like you, you know, and I'm like you. I'm just going to watch, but I will not let them drag Grandmaster's name through the mud. And just like we talked about with some other things, with some other legends, you know, these people that may be, you know, getting rank and thinking that they've got some rank from these individuals and they're going to run with it. You know, I'm knock your feet out from under them. They're not going to run far, especially if they're going to be dragging the names of these legends through the mud. That definitely will not happen. And we'll definitely make sure that don't happen. And I think that's why Grandmaster put us in the positions he did, because only a certain few would be able to do that, you know, and the masses went on the shark feeding frenzy, you know. Oh, Grandmaster passed away, you know, they're just all, blah, 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 you know, going after whatever. You know, to me, it was his passing was sad because that was somebody that, you know, you could talk to about problems or anything, you know. But yeah, brother, I'm right there with you, man. And you know, we're going to stay in touch with this, and we got some of our other brothers out there that we talked to about this, same thing. And, you know, we're going to, you know, they just need to be forewarned and know that it's not going to be, Grandmaster's name is going to be preserved in its entirety, and the shenanigans will come to an abrupt stop then people can stop them on their own accord, or we can stop them for them. That's the way I'll put it.
Well, I totally do. Let's hope that all of it all turns out like for Mr. Wallace, Master Wallace, and for Mike D, that it all turns out, you know, that the support group is like we are, where they want to just honor the legacy and not turn it into money machines after their passing. But yeah, well, I mean, we're here. We're the guardians of the gateway.
That's exactly right. And hey, we were brought up the hard way. So any of these young guys that think we ain't got skills, man, they gonna find out what it feels like to get hit by somebody that's trained, you know, right and left 45s for 30 some years.
That's right. That's funny.
Hey, that's side chick. Hey, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, go ahead with the sidekick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that sidekick. Why do we throw the sidekick? Grandmasters, because they can't block it. Exactly. That's what he would say.
I could throw that.
You know?
I could throw that. I could throw it 100 different ways.
Exactly. Brother, it's been great talking to you. It's been great having you on the show. I mean, people got a lot of information, got to hear, you know, more stories about a legend, not just one legend, but multiple legends with Uncle Bill Wallace and Michael D. Pasquale, that we'll be calling Pops or Dad or something along those lines. But it's going to be a great time. They got to hear about some of the movie stuff that you've got coming up. And then now some of the other movie stuff that we've got coming up together. And they'll be making some Facebook posts about that probably this week, on casting and going into casting and getting some other people for some other parts and putting up some of the other stuff so we can roll ahead. And then I'm sure they'll be looking for more funding and stuff like that. So just in case somebody wants to get in touch with you, I know you're busy, but if they're in the Maine area, and look, I'm going to come up to Maine, maybe not now, because it's really hot down here, but not this winter. But this winter, you can come down here because it's still going to be warm. But up there, it's going to be freezing. But how can people get in touch with Rob Buckland to, if they want to get started in Maine, if they're in the Maine area, or if they just want to bring you into their school to do seminars, or if they want to get in touch with you about doing another movie or whatever.
Okay, so I'm info@fearlessfamilymartialarts.com. Website is fearlessfamilymartialarts.com. And call or text is 207-216-7647. And, yeah, I got I think there's about a dozen weekends left before the end of the year that I'm not booked for something. So I would love to go wherever you want me to go. We'll have a great time. We can do, you know, whatever fighting range you want to work on. We'll sure do it. And I assure you that you'll enjoy it. We have a great Fight, Fall, and React seminar that we do for people that want to break into action films. And then I have a real popular one that I do that's called What Joe Louis Taught Me.
Right, yeah. Yep. I do one similar, the same way. As I was taught by, is the way I say it. As I was taught by. Thinking along those same lines, brother. Look, brother. You too, man. And look, I'll be getting in touch with you soon, and we'll get all this wrapped up. And this is why in the movie that you're my brother, and it's going to be a great thing because we're brothers in real life, and it's, now we're just going to be put it to the movie. And I'm sure as people here, we have similar voices and everything's similar. So it's going to be a great time. I can't wait. But it was good to talk to you, brother, and I appreciate you agreeing to being on the show. I'm glad I got to put you up here because you're definitely a pioneer, definitely a legend. And, you know, I'm super stoked that you know, Professor Gary Lee started the Parts Unknown because that's stuff that people needed to get out and really be a part of. And, you know, just like Professor Gary Lee says, you know, we're just going to continue to protect the history one warrior at a time. And I just continue to ask people to pray for Professor Gary Lee. I know you got to hear from him, and you know, he is doing better. But, you know, he's got a long road. But, look, Professor Gary Lee's a fighter also. He's old school, and he's going to keep getting in. And remember, let me one more time before I go give out Professor Gary Lee's number for to get some tickets to the show real quick. Let's see here. So if you're looking for information on the Ohana Open for the September 26th and 27th, show, you can call Miss Pagels at area code 218-221-2145, or you can call Professor Gary Lee to get ticket information and things of that nature for the Living Legends Roast of Professor Gary Lee or Mr. John Natividad. And Professor, I know he wanted me to mention also that during Cotter Wars, there'll be the Kevin Funakoshi Traditional Challenge, and that'll be if you're in the Shotokan, Shorinru, Wataru, Kyokushin, Goju-ru, whatever, you know, you'll be competing and then breaking those styles down. They'll all compete against each other, also in the Kabuto. But if you want tickets for, you know, one or either of these events, Professor Gary Lee's number is 713-483-0476. These tables are filling up fast, so call and get your tickets now. Or you can go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com and get your ticket. Mr. Buckland, I appreciate you being on the show, brother. I love you. Professor Gary Lee, I love you. I hope you got to hear the show. And we'd just like to thank each and every one of you for allowing us to come into your home every Tuesday evening. And just look forward to talking to you next week. Maloha and ahalo. Oh, I said that backwards, but you get the point. Anyway, stay strong. Keep your kicks up. Tush.
How about you? I promise no, as soon as you keep talking. Jack, you already sent me a message.
Well, aren't you bad since then you promised no association talk and did it anyway?
Just about how people
make the associations. Associations don't make the people.
Right.
And that was my point.
He has a radio show, but he's gonna have to. He sounds like a nice guy.
Go on the call.